Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is being cautious without being picky. That comes from scriptures from Matthew chapter 7, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and 1 Corinthians 7, verse chapter 7. So. I have some others that I'm going to put in there. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. But if you put your finger on Matthew 7 for now, I'll remind you when we get to the next ones as we go through. But as always, I have a song for you this morning I want to play. So it's called Standing on the Promises. We're going to do that. And then when I come back, we'll do the prayer request that I have lined up. But thank you for being here, and God bless you. Enjoy the song. I'll be right back. All right, folks, this morning, as I said, we're going to start out in Matthew in chapter 7. But before we do, I want to do some prayer requests. I have a long list that I put together. Some old ones and some new ones, of course. One I didn't get an answer back on. I was hoping I'd get the answer today. I didn't get it. But we're going to go to the prayer request anyhow. Let's see if I can find out where we left off here. Here we go. We have a prayer request for David Ackert. He says he's had some health issues, including some lingering post-trauma, erosion, anxiety from having been hijacked, kidnapped, robbed, severely beaten, mild traumatic brain injury, severe concussion, nearly murdered. Pray for his direction. He says he's asking for help from the Holy Spirit, minister, and continue to painful. To continue to help him with his pain, as painful as it is, and yet faithfully he needs to be pruned and chastened, yes, as all of us do, so that I will know what he wants from me and what the fruits of his spirits are for him and his fellowship, and then to grow in him and the pruning process. Folks, when people talk about the pruning process, what they mean is they want to get rid of their sin life. There's a lot that we need to do and a lot of corrections we have to do. All of us have that. Every one of us has it. He has some fibromyalgia flare-ups. And pray for his dad and his mom and his two brothers and his family. He asks for also. Braden Toll, who's 9, he's just getting over the flu and pneumonia. They're friends down in Connecticut and my daughter, Rebecca. Gerald Rivera, his mom. Gerald's mom has just found out she's got stage 3 pancreatic cancer. And the doctors aren't hopeful for any remission with her. But, you know, we know God can still and does and always does miracles. So let's just pray for Virginia Martinez that she would be able to get rid of her pancreatic cancer, that God would take it away and heal her. Gerald Rivera is a single dad. This is the son of Virginia. He's a single dad. He's raising his kids on his own. The mom left a long time ago. He's been at home taking care of her by himself, taking care of the children all on his own. So please pray for Gerald as he has to be both mother and father to his children. Frank Parrish, senior for unknown illness causing a lot of pain. Again, Frank and Gerald and Virginia are all friends of Rebecca's. Rebecca had mentioned that. Pray for Dorothy Mayer. She's out of the hospital now, COPD and pneumonia issues. She's said this morning she's breathing okay. It's not the greatest. She's still having some problems with that, but please pray for her and praise God for getting her home safe. Terry Williams, we're still praying for the home for her family, for her father and her. The veterans are working with them to get a new home. I haven't heard back. This is the prayer I haven't heard back on. It's Darla Wright Shackford. Her grandson, Ethan, last week we were praying because he was having bouts of vomiting at night. It was going on for 3 weeks, so I don't know how that's doing. We're going to pray again for Sandy's friend, Al, or people that she knows. Al, he's in the hospital undergoing many surgeries. Now, I don't know where this stands because I haven't heard back from Sandy yet. Marion T., diagnosed with cancer. She was going to Virginia to be with her daughter. Michael R. with a heart condition, looking in the heart options of treatment for his heart. Julie Hammond Gardy, unspoken prayer request. And then, of course, the families of the Florida victims, folks. It's a tragedy what's going on in our country where people aren't taking responsibility. This young man, as far as I'm concerned, is a coward. Whether he has psychological issues or not, whether the FBI was wrong or not, anyone that would take a gun and shoot innocent people like fishing in a barrel, I'm sorry, that's no sport to me. A man that wants to do things like that should join the military, and then he can go fight Iraq if he wants to. He can go over there and fight, not Iraq, but ISIS and those over there in those lands. Let him go over there. He's such a bad man. He wants to use a gun. That's what they should do with these people. If you want to be that way, we'll send you over there. You want to be a fighter, we'll definitely send you out to fight. There's plenty of wars we can put you in. But don't be killing innocent people because you're nothing but a coward. Let's pray for the families, folks. Pray for our president. Pray for our Congress. Pray for our Senate, our senators, that they'd make the right decisions concerning this gun issue that they're bringing up, and for all the other issues that we got going on in the world and our economy, and trying to make everyone be able to have health insurance and health care and provide the right things for people that live in this country. Just pray for those people that they would use our Constitution not against us, but for us. That's why we have a constitution in this country, and we have the freedom that we have, because it was set up and designed to be that way so that we could all be free of being under tyranny or under a government that doesn't care about its citizens but only cares about the businesses and greed. Folks, I thank you for letting me share that with you. Those are my personal opinions as far as our government. But for all of those that we ask for prayer for the pancreatic cancer, for that, for Dorothy, for Terry Williams, for Gerald, for all of those. You know, folks, there's so many people that need our prayers. We have a church down in Connecticut that's going through some tough times right now. The pastor's ready to leave. It appears he's had enough. He wants to retire. There's a very small congregation there, and they're having financial issues, so please pray for them. Thank you for letting me share all these, and keep those prayer requests handy, folks, and pray for them throughout the week. Keep them in mind. They're going through enough things. But, you know, we have to pray for each other. We have to work together, folks. Thank you for letting me do that and let me pray. Lord, hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Folks, let's get in with the message, right? Now, over here I said, cautious without being clicky. The reason I bring that up is because we are to judge. Now, there's a lot out in this world that says you're not supposed to judge. Well, we are supposed to judge. If we don't judge those people or people in general, then what we're going to end up with is we're going to have more problems on our hands than we have. And how do we go about judging? We judge them righteously. Now, I say that because I'm going to point some things out to you, and you keep this in the back of your mind as well. Would you allow your children to hang out with alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, gamblers, troublemakers, thieves, rapists, murderers, blah, blah, blah? You would do your best to protect your children. Well, it's our job as Christians to protect our families. Our families are blood families. It's our responsibility to protect our church family, and it's most certainly our responsibility to keep them outside. That does not mean that we don't allow them in. It does not mean that we don't attempt to share the gospel with them, to pull them from the flames. And when I say the flames, from their life of sin. You see, where to put these people that want to be Christians at arm's length until they show that they're willing to change. We don't welcome in a sense as, like, if you notice, like, churches have church membership, right? Be a member until you've been in the body of the church for a while, where they can see that your character is such that you're a Christian or are willing to do more to become a Christian. So I'm going to read from you in chapter 7 of Matthew right now. In verse 1, it says this of chapter 7. It says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged," right? "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, you think about that. He says, judge not. These are Jesus' words, that ye be not judged. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." You see, we're supposed to judge righteously with Jesus' words, with the scriptures. Not go around pointing fingers, making people out to be something they are or aren't, if we're not willing to do the same thing and be judged the same. And then if we read down further, it says here in verse 10, it says, "Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Why is that in there? You see, if they ask for something, we're to give to them. If we go back up, it says here in verse 9, "Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?" You see, we're not, as Christians, as church members, as family members, as people of Christ, we don't not give them the things they have or have need of, right? If you know someone has and they're hungry or they're thirsty or they don't have clothes or they have a need or they want to hear the gospel, you give it to them. That's what he's talking about here. But the issue is you don't just go, "Sorry, you live that lifestyle. We don't want you in our church." No, you allow them to come in, and then you explain to them that in our church, this is what we follow, these are our belief systems, and we want you here, we want to be able to share the gospel with you. If you're not willing to follow the commandments of God, if you're not willing to read the Bible and go along with what's being taught, then please don't come in our church. Now, if they show up and they come back, then obviously they're interested. That doesn't mean they're not there to, like I just mentioned yesterday, I was talking to my daughter about a certain issue. Churches have a falling out sometimes. Sometimes they have membership that leave in numbers. I watched a church here that happened with, and I explained it to my daughter that it happens at times because what happens with people is they come in to infiltrate your church and steal the membership by lying to them. Because as we know, the Bible talks about false teachers in end times, and that's where we're at, folks. But if we go over to Matthew 15 through 23, it says this, "Beware of false prophets, which come into you or to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Be careful what you're up against, folks. They're out there. "Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes or thorns of figs or of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a forth good fruit. But every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them." Amen? You see, that's what we're talking about. When people come to our church, you can tell by their fruit. Their fruits of their actions, their fruits of their reactions, the way they respond to the word, the way they change their life, the way they come around more often, the more they want to be involved in doing the right thing as God wants them to do, not as the preacher or pastor wants them to do. And if you go back, it says here, it says, you got to be careful because they're like sheep. They look like sheep, but inward, they're the ravenly wolves. They're looking to destroy. You see, the part of judging, if you look here, we must pay attention to those that are not willing to live correctly. It's clear, folks. Now, if we go over to 1 Corinthians 5, because, again, you know, folks, I'm always short on time. If there's not much I can do, it's not like I have a congregation here where you can come and sit and listen to me and stay in my church building for hours on end if that's what we needed. I only have a short period of time here online. It says this in verse 5. It is reported commonly, listen to this. This is Paul telling the church in Corinth about the immorality within the church. He says, look, it is reported commonly, in other words, most people already know, that there's fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Even they don't even act like you do, that one should have his father's wife. You see, somebody within that church was with their father's wife. And what he means by this is sexually, folks. He's living with it as if they're married. And ye are puffed up. You act like you got this great knowledge. It says, the little note in top of mine says, indifference to evil in the church, the result of divisions. You see, you act like you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that ye that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You need to get that person out. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done so. You see, Paul says, I've already decided he's not right for this church. And you should be doing the same. We should be doing the same as Christians. When we know that people coming around us, be it at our homes and our churches, and our church should be considered the same as our home, if not better than obviously, and our home should be just as well. These people come around, if they're not willing to get right with God, they shouldn't be allowed to come into your home or into your church. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan, that means to put him outside the church and let him go live in the world as the world, if that's what he wants to, for the destruction of his flesh, in other words, let him go, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. That means when they realize that, hey, you don't want nothing to do with them because of the way they live, their spirit would change if they were really a Christian, if they were really a sheep and not in wolf's clothing. Your glorying is not good. You see, they're glorying God, but not good. They're not doing it right. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You look at that, folks. It says, be careful. Don't be wicked towards the person. Don't be angry towards the person. But tell them, listen, I have to put you outside the church. You can't be a member. You can't be somebody that's counted as righteousness when you don't want to live right. I wrote unto you a letter, says an epistle, not to accompany with fornicators. I told you not to, he says. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Send them out. Let them go. Get out. Get away from me. Go out in the church. Get out of my church. Go out in the world if that's what you want. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard. A railer means somebody who likes to fight and argue. Or an extortioner who's a thief, a crook, with such as one, no. Not eat. Don't hang out with them. Don't partake with them. Don't allow them in your church. Don't allow them to sit at your table. Don't be that friendly with them. You can only be friendly with those that are Christians, it says. Then, you know, I read to you over there. It says, judge not. He gives us the reasons why we should be judging. We have to protect ourselves and provide safety for our families and our church families. How can we be telling our child? Telling my daughter an incident with myself, in fact. How can you tell church children the gospel and then go live some other way? I wasn't living right way back when I was doing things working within the church. And the pastor came to me and explained it to me, and he pointed it out, and I had to make changes in my life. You have to make those changes or be put outside. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. In other words, if you're judging the ones outside the church, all the worldly, why aren't you judging the ones within the church? But them that are without God, judge it. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That means put him outside the church. We're done with you. I'm sorry. Until you can get your life right, these lifestyles that you're living, they can't be allowed in our church. And we have many churches, folks, today that are lying to the congregation. They're doing it for numbers. They're doing it for money. They're doing it because they know they're going to be down to like 5 or 6 people if they don't allow them. I'm sorry. If that's what kind of church you want, why don't you just open up a bar room? Now, folks, I know I get on my soapbox, but I'm telling you, we're in a bad situation. This is why our country's falling apart. This is why our churches are falling apart. We're allowing our little girls to dress like women, and then we wonder why men treat them as such. We've got men running around with men for partners. This is ridiculous, and women doing the same. And we're allowing it. We're allowing drunkards to come in day after day, be part of our families, and they're drunkards, and they don't want to change, and we shouldn't be allowing it. 2 Corinthians 7:7. Let's go over there before I run out of time. 2 Corinthians 7:7. If I can get my place again. Says this, and we're going to go down to 10. So verse 7 to verse 10. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry, this is Paul saying, I made you sorry with the letter. I'm sorry that I told you these things. I do not repent, though I did repent. In other words, I'm not repenting that I said it. I'm not regretting that I sent the letter, even though I do regret it, because obviously I'm seeing that there's a problem here. I wish I never had to. For I perceive that the same letter hath made you sorry, which made you aware, he says, though it were but for a season. Even if it was only for a short period of time, that you had to acknowledge the fact that there was a man in your church who was sleeping with his own mother, which is his father's wife, we should say, not his mother. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. In other words, that you were so sorry that you realized you were wrong, that you were guilty of allowing it, that you changed and you've done something about it. That's what repentance is. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. In other words, you were made feeling guilty because it's right with God to do so, that ye might receive damage by us and nothing. In other words, you wouldn't have anything go wrong within your church if you lived right and done the right things for your church and for your family. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly conviction worketh repentance. Godly guilt worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. If we continue to do the things of the world as the world does them, then we're going to be sent to death. And I got news for you, folks. Let me explain what is outside the body of the church family of believers. These people outside the church are considered in Revelations to be dogs and whoremongers. Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 7:21-23. He had just finished talking about how he can judge false prophets by their fruit. It says in 7:15-20. The passage is very clear. It speaks of wolves that look like sheep, and thorns that look like grapes, and thistles that look like figs. This is a quote from what I read in response or in a group, rather, called Reasons for Hope on their page. It says, listen, the passage is very clear. It speaks of wolves that are like sheep, thorns that are like grapes, thistles that look like figs. However, it's the truth of Christ's word, folks, that we are to always be working for the Lord and not as false teachers, that having nothing for good to show. We should always be doing the work of the Lord. We should be going out judging those that are wrong and then not judging those that are that are Christian. What are we doing pointing fingers at our Christian brothers and sisters if they're trying? If they're not, then we should be judging them righteously and pointing out their sin and trying to win them back to Christ to correct them so that they feel guilty, and then they would repent, and that would build up their salvation in the Lord. Whereas a Christian sharing the word's not judging folks, but it's proven that sin exists and doing so righteously. You see, folks, we have to do things as Christians, and that means sometimes we have to go out and take the chance of sharing the gospel, like it or not. You know, in the end times, there's going to be many false teachers and followers of Satan and his demons teaching false doctrines. Do you want it to come to the point where Jesus says, I do not know you? There's those that are sharing the gospel, they're preaching the gospel, they're prophesying, they're doing things they say they are. Now, inside in their heart, and God knows our hearts, if we don't change our hearts, folks, we're liars and false teachers. Because we're teaching on the one hand, and we're lying to ourselves on the other, expecting to get to heaven, even though we're committing sins. Revelation 20:2-16 teaches about what's outside. It says the dogs and the whoremongers are out there in verse 15. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, John was told, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. He that is filthy, let him be filthy. He that's righteous, let him be righteous. And he that is holy, let him be holy. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. In other words, as our Christian life should be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, he says. And in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that's doing God's commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. These are the people that are non-believers, folks. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. This was John writing that about Jesus Christ. Jesus said he is the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I testify of these, Jesus said. My Father told him that, and he shared them with us. Avoid all appearances of evil, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain, stay away from all appearances of evil. Passeth by it, it says in Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the pathway of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil. Why are we told these things and then allow them in our church? Avoid it, pass by it, says in verse 15 of chapter 4 of Proverbs. Turn from it and pass away. We're to look to one another, folks. We are to look to one another for guidance and strength. When we have sin in our life, how do we fix this? Don't hide from it. Let's go ask for help from those that can deal with it and help us to deal with it. But we must remember, not all will be Christians, and not all are going to heaven. Our responsibility is to live in the world, not as the world. We don't bring the world into our church and say, listen, come on in and continue to drink and get drunk and do drugs and act like a prostitute and be a whoremonger and go sleep with your mother, your father's wife, and protect our brothers and sisters is what we should be doing. Because Christ says, look, get them away from the wicked ones. That, my friend, is not being clicky. It's not being clicky when you don't want to hang out with those that are of the world who won't change. We provide the security and protection for our loved ones, for our church family, and our family of Christ. Thank you for letting me share that. I hope you'll take this to heart, folks, because Jesus will someday say, I do not know you. I don't want you to have to hear that from the Lord. Folks, I'm glad you were here. My last song for you, and we're going to run out of time, so from that point on, you're going to be on your own. I'll be back next week on Facebook, so if you want to come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, I'll be over there on Facebook, William Preacher Bill Barnes, and our last song is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. I hope you'll be there, my friends. God bless you, and thank you for listening today. See you next Sunday.
Of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saints on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. bright and shining morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather in their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, called up yonder, when the moon is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all the wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done,
God bless you. Thank you for being here.